Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that you listen to these messages. It's our prayer that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We worship in person at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91701. If you can't join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream, worship, offer up prayers, chat, connect, fellowship. You're not alone. If you miss those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, which is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and click on any of the services, our weekly sermons, our weekly children's messages, and our weekly worship services. This weekend is the weekend that we honor our fathers. It is interesting how Father's Day began. In 1910, there was a lady named Sonora Dodd in Spokane, Washington. She was sitting in a church service on Mother's Day, and as she was listening to a sermon about mothers, she thought about her father. Her father was a Civil War veteran. Her mom had died early in life, so for all of the years of her life and the years of her siblings, they had been brought up by their father. He was a very devout and godly man. She thought it would be a wonderful thing to have a special time to honor her father and all fathers. Because he was born in the month of June, she was able to have a special day honoring her father on the third Sunday of June in 1910 in Spokane, Washington. Many years later, 56 years later to be exact, in 1966, Lyndon Johnson signed the proclamation declaring that the third Sunday in June would be set aside as Father's Day, a day when we would recognize and honor and pay tribute to our earthly fathers. I read these little statistics the other day in preparation for this message. Here's the first point. Of U.S. students in grades 1 through 12, 17.7 million, 39%, live in homes absent from a biological father. Point number two, accordingly to 72% of the U.S. population, fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. Let me say that again. 72% of the U.S. population is fatherless, and fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem in America. Well, on this Father's Day weekend, let us pause for a few moments and pray. Pray for all those that are fathers, those that want to be fathers, those that have lost their fathers, and for those who never had a good earthly father, or those that have had broken relationships with fathers and families. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, God of grace and mercy, we pray for all the fathers and men who have been like fathers to us. We ask that you would let them hear, well done, good and faithful servants. We pray for those that want to be fathers and are working in their relationships. We pray that you would just give them their heart's desire. We pray for those that have lost their fathers. We pray that you would only comfort them as only you can. And Lord, we pray for those that didn't have good examples. May they find the true and living example in you and through you and with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today I'm going to try and connect our Old Testament reading in Genesis with the Psalm and a New Testament reading in John. Actually, I want to briefly look at a few men of the Bible and see if we can gain some insight into our faith and living a life that is fearless. We will look at Enoch, Methuselah, David, and Jesus. We got a long road to cover, and let's just jump in. Let's turn into God's Word, Genesis 5:21-26. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and then he was no more because God took him away. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Okay, let's try and look at that for just a moment. As I've been reading and thinking about this passage and this message, I have thought about Enoch's story in Genesis 5. We do not know a lot about Enoch, but what stopped me in my tracks this week was verse 22. It was after Enoch became the father of Methuselah that we are told that he walked with God. I think sometimes it takes children to bring a father to God. That is what we are told here in Genesis. I think that there are a few little life lessons that we can learn from Enoch. First lesson, number one, be sure that you are on the right path. Before Methuselah was born, we are told, we are not told too much about Enoch, but after his son is born, old Enoch gets on the right path. Friends, it's not too late to start walking with God. Point number two, be sure that you're walking at the right pace. I can remember when our children and grandchildren were beginning to learn to walk. As a dad and a pawpaw, I had to walk really slow so that their little feet could walk alongside of me. Sometimes I would even allow them to walk on my feet as I walked. Recently, since we moved, my 88-year-old father-in-law moved in with us. I have had to learn to walk at his pace. I do not know who you may be walking with or who God may be calling you to walk with, but I would encourage you to walk at the right pace. Point number three, be sure you're going to the right place. Stay on the right path, walk at the right pace, and make sure you're going to the right place. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and then God took Enoch up to heaven. Enoch went to heaven without dying. He went right into glory and never died. But his son Methuselah died, according to this passage of Scripture. Who do you think was the first person that met Methuselah when he went through the gates of glory? Well, I have a feeling that it was Enoch. Enoch, by walking with God, had led his son to the right place. Remember that there are people following in your footsteps and learning from your examples. When I was in the tire business, I would take my children to work with me on Saturdays. I thought it would be good for them to see their father in his work environment. One Saturday, I took my son along with me, and of course, we stopped in the morning for donuts, juice, and coffee. We made a stop at one of my customers that day and picked up a load of truck tires. The truck tires were stacked really high, and they were hanging out all over the edge so that I could not see out of my rearview mirror or side mirrors very well. Then we arrived at the tire store. One of my employees stood behind me to help me back up. This was before cell phones and walkie-talkies. I opened my driver's door and leaned out a little to see how close I was to the opening of the garage door. Well, unbeknownst to me, my son opened his door on the passenger side and was mimicking me what I was doing. The only problem is that there is a cement pole right by his door, and when he opened the door, I backed up and the door crashed and crumbled up alongside the cement pole. When I heard the crashing metal, I hit the brake and looked over at my son. His eyes are wider than flying saucers. Tears were beginning to fill his eyes. I pulled ahead and jumped out of the truck to make sure that he was not hurt. I know that for sure he thought he was going to be in trouble. I was thankful he was not hurt. I did not yell. I did not belittle him. I did not get mad. I was thankful that he was not hurt. I told him that the door can be fixed and it was not a big deal. I believe that morning I taught my son to walk the right path at the right pace so that we can get to the right place. Enoch's life is one of the shortest recorded in the genealogy. It's an amazing fact that Enoch never dies. He just kept walking with God all the way into heaven. Yet Enoch's son, Methuselah, life is the longest. It's 969 years. Methuselah is the oldest person to live, and we are told in the Gospel of Luke that Methuselah is the genealogy of Jesus. Friends, that is walking on the right path at the right pace and ending up in the right place. Maybe some early so what questions for us to ponder. Are you walking on the right path? Let me say that again. Are you walking on the right path? Are you walking at the right pace? Are you walking to the right place? Point one, walk in faithfulness. I'd like for us to reflect on Psalm 31 for just a few minutes. As many of you know, I love the Psalms. The Psalms give us all the emotions and feelings that we can experience. Psalm 31 would be a good psalm to read, reflect on, ponder, and pray. This psalm was written by King David, the shepherd boy who became king. This would be a good psalm for those that have been and will be stressed out. Are you stressed out? Read Psalm 31. David faced many trials and tribulations. I will only read the opening five verses. I love the words refuge, rock, rescue, and fortress. Are you stressed? Join me in this little reading. David challenges us to trust and put our lives in God's hands. This is one of the psalms that Jesus quoted from the cross when he cried out, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Maybe a so what question during this time, maybe you're going through a lot of stress. Maybe this good so what question is, whose hands are you committing your spirit to? Who are you trusting to be your rock, your refuge, and your rescuer? Listen to how David cries out to God when he is under stress, filled with anxiety, overwhelmed with fear, surrounded by trials and temptations. Put yourself in the story. Psalm 31, 1 to 5. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and come quickly to rescue me. Be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Free me from the trap that is set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. Psalm 31, 1 through 5. What a powerful verse. I'd encourage you to go and read that. Read it slowly. Make it a prayer. Stop and pray some of those words. Refuge and rock and fortress. What is God to you? Let's pause for a moment. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We're so blessed that you listen each week. If you need prayer, especially during this time of life, if you need prayer, go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer icon and pray. Write your prayer down and we'll pray for you. Or you can email me at Pastor Dave at The Seed Christian Fellowship. So we read Psalm 31, 1 to 5. I want to read John 14, 1 to 6. These are some of Jesus' last words from the upper room. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you're where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Joseph Bailey is a pastor, and he was flying from Chicago to Los Angeles. He engaged a woman sitting next to him in conversation. She was a little over 40, well-dressed, and quite articulate. He asked, "Where are you from?" She said, "From Palm Springs." Knowing Palm Springs to be a city of the rich and famous, he asked, "What's Palm Springs like?" Being perceptive, she answered, "Palm Springs is a beautiful place filled with unhappy people." Taking advantage of that occasion, he pressed the question, "Are you unhappy?" She said, "Yes, I certainly am." "Why?" he asked. She said, "I can answer it in one word, and the word is mortality. Until I was 40, I had a perfect eyesight. Shortly after, I went to the doctor because I couldn't see as well as I could before. Ever since that time, these corrective glasses have been assigned to me that not only are my eyes wearing out, but I'm wearing out. Someday I'm going to die. I really haven't been happy since that time." Friends, these words summarize the feelings of millions of Americans today. We don't want to lose what we have or be reminded that death is coming for us as it is for everyone else in the human race. As someone said, the only certainty in life is death. I would love to break down John 14 word by word. but we don't really have a lot of time. One of the main points of John 14 is found in the first verse, the word trust. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. What Jesus was telling his disciples was that they needed to trust more and fear less. Trust more and fear less. That's Jesus' message. Trust more and fear less. Jesus knows this is his final night on earth. He knew this is really his last supper on earth. He knows what lies ahead. Betrayal, beatings, and being condemned. Trust God. Trust me. Potent, very powerful lines from a man about to die. Just think of all what the disciples had seen. They had spent 3 years with Jesus. They had seen miracle after miracle, the feeding of thousands with very few resources. They had seen Jesus walking on water and calming the winds and waves. They had seen Jesus give sight to the blind, cure those with leprosy, touch the deaf so that they could hear, heal the lame so they could walk, run, and dance again. Jesus has raised the dead not once, but three times, Jairus' daughter, the widow's son, and Lazarus. They have been eyewitnesses to all the miracles, and yet their hearts are troubled. We were gathered in a small upper room and had just celebrated a Passover meal together. Jesus announces to them that one of them is going to betray him and that Peter will deny him. Wow, not once, but three times Peter will deny him. The disciples' feet may have been clean, but they're clearly troubled in their heart. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Those are powerful words. Jesus' words were true for the disciples, and they're true for us today. How can we have hearts that are not troubled? Let me say that again. How are we to have hearts that are not troubled? How can we trust more and fear less? Jesus tells us the answer. Trust in God, trust in Christ. The disciples did not have the New Testament like we do. They lived with the writings and teachings of the Old Testament. They knew their Psalms and the prophets by heart. Psalm 31 is a psalm of trust. Psalm 31 is a prayer for help in times of trouble. The psalm turns the reader's eyes off himself to God, the rock of refuge and a strong fortress. When David spoke and wrote these words, he was not having a good day. David was asking God to save his life from his enemies. As he wrestles, he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." Jesus used these very words on the cross, and saints everywhere have echoed them. Martin Luther quoted verse 5 of Psalm 31 shortly before he died. He said, "Blessed are they who die not only for the Lord as martyrs, not only in the Lord as all believers, but likewise with the Lord as breathing forth their lives into his words, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Well, blessed are those who die breathing forth these words, "Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth." The reason the disciples were able to trust Christ is because they knew him. They had walked with him, ate meals with him, and camped under creation with him. They had seen with their own eyes all the miracles. They had every reason to trust, and so do we. We have the entire story. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. We live on the other side of the resurrection. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I wish we had more time to talk about heaven. We can save that for a whole new sermon series. What I want to say today is that heaven is a real place, and we will have a reunion with Jesus when the time comes for us to go to our heavenly home. I can give you scripture after scripture that reflects the truth of our reunion in our heavenly home. Let me just give you a quick few. You may not have to have a chance to write them down. Just email me at Pastor Dave. I'll get them to you. Genesis 12:1. Genesis 15:18-21, Genesis 25:8 and 17, Genesis 35:29, Genesis 49:33, Deuteronomy 34:6, Numbers 27:12-13, 2 Samuel 12:22-23, Hebrews 11:10, and 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus uses the image of a wedding promise in Jewish times. When a young man wanted to marry a Jewish girl, the wedding custom was for the father of the bride and the father of the groom to negotiate a bride price. And after the bride price was settled, they would share a cup of wine to seal the covenant. Then the young man would go home and start building a place for the two of them. When the house was built, he came back for his bride. This is the image that Christ gives to his disciples, a very powerful image of a Jewish wedding promise. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Friends, we are the bride of Christ. And what Jesus is saying is that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And he's coming back and will bring each one of us into our heavenly home. When I read verse 2 and 3 and worked on them this week, I was stopped, well, dead in my tracks with the words, a place for you. In these verses, Jesus uses the word you 5 times. I would have told you, a place for you, a place for you. I will come back and take you, and that you may be where I am. Wow, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me also where I am, a place for you. Tells us that heaven is not just a place, it is a home, a personal dwelling place with our Savior, where we will know and be known. You and I each own some heavenly real estate, a real heavenly estate. Stevie Wonder sings a song entitled, There's a Place in the Sun. Well, you and I have a place in the sun, S-O-N, and there is hope for every one of us. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, once told a story that speaks to this place in heaven. Moody said, quote, there was a man who had great wealth. He was dying, and when the doctor told him that he would not live, the lawyer was sent to make for a will. The dying man had a little girl who was 4 years old. She did not understand all that death meant. When her mother told her that her father was going away, the little child went to his bedside and looked into his father's eyes and asked, Papa, have you got a home in that land that you're going to? A question sunk deep into the man's soul, and for he had spent his time and energy accumulating all of this wealth. In his life, he enjoyed a grand home, but now he had to leave it all. I remember my brother's funeral and my introduction to Christ's message of a place for you. It changed my life. I remember my mentor's advice to read Bonhoeffer and Christ's call to discipleship, come and die. The woman on the plane lived in a place of luxury and leisure in Palm Springs, California, yet she was not happy. She was afraid of losing what she had. The so what question for us today comes from a 4-year-old child. Have you got a place? Have you got a home in that land that you're going to? Have you a home where you are going? Has the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, gone to prepare a place for you? If you want, and to be able to say yes to these questions, all that is necessary is for Jesus to be your Savior. He says he has gone to prepare a place for all who trust in him. If you've never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, do so now. Receive him as your Savior and know the joy of possessing your own piece of heavenly real estate, a place prepared for you by Christ's own skilled hands. My brother Gary, my mom, my grandmother, my grandfathers, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, dear family members and friends, brothers and sisters in faith, they are presently enjoying their new home. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. God bless. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you this day and always. God bless and see you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.